Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Fiscal Theory of the Price Level is a 2023 economics book by John H. Cochran that presents a systematic defense and development of fiscal theory as an explanation of inflation and deflation. Rather than treating the price level as determined mainly by the central bank, the book argues that government debt, taxes, and spending commitments are central to understanding why prices move. Cochran frames inflation as an outcome of the public sector's intertemporal budget constraint. If the market does not believe future surpluses will be sufficient to back outstanding nominal debt, prices must adjust. The book is both theoretical and policy-oriented, combining formal models with historical and institutional discussion. It also places fiscal theory in dialogue with standard New Keynesian monetary analysis, making it relevant to readers interested in macroeconomic theory, government debt sustainability, and the limits of monetary policy in high-debt economies. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, government debt as the anchor of the price level. The book's central claim is that the real value of nominal government liabilities must be consistent with the present value of future taxes minus future spending. In this view, the price level is not a separate monetary object floating free of fiscal conditions. Instead, it adjusts so that the government's debt can be valued by the public. Cochran uses this idea to challenge the common assumption that inflation is controlled primarily by the central bank alone. If fiscal policy does not back debt credibly, monetary policy has less power than standard textbooks suggest. This makes the theory especially useful for thinking about high debt environments, where fiscal expectations become part of the inflation process. The mechanism is accounting-based but economically powerful when debt rises faster than expected repayment capacity. The price level must rise to restore consistency between liabilities and expected surpluses. Secondly, how fiscal theory is merged with modern interest rate policy. A distinctive feature of the book is that it does not stop at a simple debt and price level identity. Cochran works to integrate fiscal theory with standard models in which central banks set interest rates, which makes the theory more usable for contemporary macroeconomics. This matters because modern policy operates through interest rate management rather than direct control of monetary aggregates. The book therefore asks how fiscal backing interacts with inflation targeting, nominal rate policy, and the zero lower bound environment. By doing so, it shows that fiscal theory can coexist with New Keynesian-style policy rules while still preserving the idea that fiscal expectations ultimately matter for price determination. This synthesis is one reason the book stands apart from shorter expositions. It tries to make fiscal theory operational rather than merely controversial. Readers get a framework for understanding why monetary policy can appear effective in some periods and constrained in others, depending on the fiscal environment behind it. Thirdly, explaining inflation, deflation, and recessions through discount rates. The book emphasizes that fiscal theory is not only a theory of inflation spikes. Cochran generalizes it to account for broader movements in the price level, including why inflation may fall during recessions, even when deficits are large. The key point is that the value of government debt depends not only on expected future surpluses, but also on discount rates, which can move sharply in downturns. If discount rates fall, the present value of debt rises, which can support the price level even when fiscal positions look weak. This allows the book to avoid a simplistic one-way story in which deficits always cause immediate inflation. It also helps explain why the same fiscal stance can have different price effects across different macroeconomic conditions. By linking price level determination to valuation logic, the book offers a richer explanation of how inflation, deflation, and government debt interact over time. That makes it useful for readers who want a theory that can handle both normal times and stressed economic periods. Fourthly, why partially repaid debt and long-term bonds matter for realism. Cochran argues that the theory works best when governments are understood to promise partial, not full and perfectly rigid, repayment of debt. This refinement helps the model apply to real economies, where default, restructuring, taxation, inflation, and debt maturity structure all complicate the textbook government budget constraint. It also reduces classic objections that the theory only fits extreme crisis episodes. A related contribution is the emphasis on long-term debt, which better matches actual sovereign finance than simple one-period models. Because most government obligations are not instantaneously rolled over, the timing of repayment and the valuation of future fiscal policy become central to the price level. The book therefore tries to bridge the gap between elegant theory and institutional reality. This is one of its major strengths for policy analysis. It does not treat government debt as a single abstract number, but as a set of liabilities whose maturity, repayment expectations, and fiscal backing shape inflation dynamics. Lastly, a rethinking of monetary doctrine, deficits, and policy limits. The book is also a critique of conventional monetary doctrine. It argues that large deficits can place real constraints on central banks, and that price stability cannot be secured by interest rate policy alone if fiscal policy is not credible. This leads to a broader rethinking of how monetary and fiscal institutions should be interpreted. Cochrane is especially interested in the post-war experience. Periods of very low interest rates and the post-pandemic inflation environment, where standard money supply stories often seem too narrow. The book suggests that debates over whether deficits are inflationary cannot be settled by simple slogans because the outcome depends on expectations, fiscal backing, and the broader macroeconomic regime. It is therefore not just a theory book, but also a framework for interpreting policy failures and successes. Readers interested in the relationship between central banking and government solvency will find that the book pushes them to think about inflation as a joint fiscal monetary problem rather than a purely monetary one. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who already have some interest in macroeconomics, monetary policy, public debt, or economic theory, graduate students, researchers, policy professionals, and technically minded general readers will gain the most from it, especially those trying to understand why inflation sometimes remains muted despite large deficits, and why monetary policy can lose traction when fiscal expectations are weak. Its main practical value is conceptual. It gives readers a disciplined way to connect government budget constraints with price determination. Its intellectual value is broader still, because it challenges the standard separation between monetary and fiscal analysis and forces a reconsideration of what actually anchors the value of money. Compared with more conventional inflation books, it stands out for being both theoretically ambitious and institutionally grounded. Cochrane does not treat fiscal theory as a side note. He presents it as a complete framework for interpreting inflation, deflation, debt sustainability, and the limits of central banking. That combination makes the book unusually distinctive in its field. If you would like to support John H. Cochrane, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.